All right, you can go ahead and grab a seat if you'd like to. Welcome to Christchurch. If we've not met before, then my name is Chris, and I'm a part of the team here at Christchurch, and have been here for about 9.5 years, and it's a great privilege to be with you this morning and to share from God's Word with you. And I wonder if you can relate to that feeling of being woken up from a deep sleep. Can it relate to that? Where are any of our new parents? I see you. You relate to that feeling. You were asleep, and you got woken up. Maybe someone else could relate to that. You were asleep and you got woken up. Our youngest, Rafi, who's 7, and she is usually the first to wake up in our house, and she comes into our bedroom, particularly on school days, because we don't allow TV in the mornings on school days. Weekends are fine, but not the mornings. So she comes into our room, and she opens the door, and we're obviously fast asleep and having a lovely sleep. And if Rafi comes to my side, she'll just sort of poke me like that, just poke me on the arm. And she said to me this morning, what happens usually, and I'm not aware of this because I'm asleep, what happens usually is I just sort of go, like that, and turn over. And so she just keeps kind of poking me. But with Helena, what she does, she goes around to Helena's side of the bed, which is on the other side of the room. She'll just do this thing where she'll just like stare at Helena. And she'll get like a few inches away from her face, and she'll be like, and then, I don't know if you've ever been woken up with a face in your face. But she's like, and then Helen's, oh, there's a face in my face. If maybe you could relate to that. I have this sense, I've been praying this week, what I hear the Lord saying to the church, his bride at the moment, is wake up. I hear him saying that at the moment. Wake up, church. Maybe connects with one of the letters that was written in Revelation to the church in Sardis, where they were known, they had a good reputation for being alive, but they were found to be dead. And God says, wake up, church. I really sense that in myself, that God is awakening me again, reawakening me to some of the centerpieces, some of the priorities of his heart. And that we would move as a church beyond institution, beyond denomination, beyond preference, beyond style, beyond our favorite worship song or our favorite YouTube preacher, whatever it is, that we would just move beyond that and we would come back to some of the centerpieces of his heart, some of his priorities. That we would learn to be dependent on his Holy Spirit. That we would take seriously his command to love. And I want to talk a little bit about some of that this morning as we look and spend some time in John 15. And my prayer is, God, would you wake us up? Would you wake us up? Would you align our hearts with your heart, with the priorities of your heart? Would you draw us back to the centerpiece of what you're all about? That's my prayer this morning. And so this morning what I want to do is I want to try and attempt to answer two questions. I've got some thoughts on two questions. And we've been in John 15 and we've been looking at this idea of being a wholehearted follower of Jesus. And we've talked about the idea of wholehearted followers of Jesus. One of the keys to that is our ability to remain and to abide in him out of John 15. Abiding in Jesus is one of the keys to wholehearted following of him. And the first question that I want to look at really is, well, if that's true, if remaining in Jesus is one of those keys to abiding in him, becoming fruitful, wholehearted followers of Jesus, remaining in him, what is that supposed to look like day to day in our lives? Because a few people have asked me that since January. What do you mean? What is that supposed to be? How do I do that? Well, I want to answer that question or try and give some thoughts on that question. The second question we're going to look at is, well, what is the fruit that the gardener is looking for in John 15? What's the fruit that the gardener is looking for? If he is the gardener and he calls us to be fruitful, what is that fruit? And then we'll see where we get to. So, if one of the keys to wholehearted discipleship, following of Jesus, abiding in him, and what does that look like day to day? Now, when we find John 15, we find John 15 in the middle of a very particular and significant moment in the book of John. And it's really important that we don't take in isolation John 15, but we place it within the context from chapter 13 through 17 and actually beyond. But there's this very specific moment that we get here in John 15, which is connected also to 13 all the way through to 17. Really important that we don't take it out of context of all of that, because this is one moment that we're talking about here, one moment that Jesus is having with his friends. So John 15 is sandwiched right in the middle of that passage. And what we see as Jesus talks to his friends is he begins to introduce a couple of really key themes, a couple of really important things. The first thing that he begins to introduce is this idea that he's going to go away. He's not going to be around for much longer. That's the first key theme that Jesus begins to introduce. The second key theme that he begins to introduce is that the Holy Spirit is going to come and be given to us. So he's going away, but the Holy Spirit is coming. And I don't know about you, but I think if I was one of Jesus' friends, this whole thing would have been quite confusing to me. Because we get to see the whole thing, which is really helpful. But in the middle of that, it must have been really confusing. Because on one level, Jesus is saying in John 15, abide in me, remain in me, be connected to me. Oh, and also I'm going now. That must have been a really confusing reality for his friends. And if we jump into John 16, we would see that his friends do become slightly confused. And Jesus actually answers their question. But they say between themselves, what does he mean by saying, in a little while you'll see me no longer, but then you will see me? That would have been confusing to me too. So Jesus' friends get confused by this, but Jesus answers their question. So if wholehearted following of Jesus is all about abiding in him, what does that look like day to day? Question one. My first thing I want to say is this, that it is so connected to our ability to cultivate and develop a day-to-day significant relationship with the Holy Spirit. Remaining, abiding in Jesus is absolutely connected to our ability to cultivate a day-to-day significant relationship with the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, what's fascinating is if you look at John 14 and then into John 16, Jesus introduces that theme of him going away, but he also introduces that theme of the Holy Spirit coming. So it's no coincidence that John 15 lands right in the middle of those two things. Jesus in John 14 begins to talk about the Holy Spirit. He says, the Father will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Jesus goes on to say in a few verses, he said, all of this I have spoken while I am still with you. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, listen to this, will teach you all things. And remind you of everything I've said to you. The Holy Spirit, the advocate, which means the one who is called to be beside you. That's what that means. The Holy Spirit is called to our side. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is called to be with you and in you. The advocate, the comforter, the healer, the helper, the teacher, the counselor. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of the things that Jesus has said. As we go into John 16, and we've had John 15, Jesus says, when the advocate comes, we're back to the Holy Spirit again. When the advocate comes. And what Jesus says is he says, I have much more to say to you, much more than you can now bear. So you can't handle all the stuff that I want to say to you, is what Jesus says. You're not ready to hear all of that. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. And so here we see, John 15 lands right in the middle of these moments where Jesus is talking about the giving of the Holy Spirit. He's like, remain in me, abide in me, I'm going to go, but the Holy Spirit is going to come. And the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the one who is called to be beside you, will teach you all things and will remind you of the things that I've said to you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth, guide you into all truth. What I'm trying to say is that remaining in Jesus, abiding in Jesus day to day, looks like cultivating a significant relationship with the Holy Spirit. We can't do that without him. We can't do it without him. The Holy Spirit can teach you all things, can guide you into all truth. It's called to be with you and in you, to help you, to counsel you, to teach you. So do you spend time cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit? If you do, you'll know that remaining in Jesus, abiding in Jesus, is a lot easier. If you don't, today's a great time to start. So cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit, first thing. How else do we remain in Jesus day to day? Well, I think the second thing to say, and this is, I'm not sad about this at all. I was going to say, sadly, it's really simple. I'm not sad about that at all. I want us to take the command of Jesus in John 15 to love really seriously. You know that idea of waking up? You know, if we've been in church for a while, or you've been a Christian for maybe quite a long time, or you're just in this environment a lot, or whatever it is, sometimes we get lulled to sleep in the significant truths of God. We just get lulled to sleep because we hear it maybe a lot. Maybe we've just sort of been there and done it, and there's a sort of cynicism that arises in us. Friends, I want us to hear that word of God to us today, to wake up in our hearts. To wake up to the truth, the depths of the truths that God has for us. And this command to love is so significant. It's what changes the world around us. And this is where we see a really interesting link, I think, between John 15 and Galatians 5. There's a really interesting link between Galatians 5 and John 15. If we were to turn to Galatians 5, we would begin to see some of the answers to our questions around fruit. But of course, what Paul's writing to these people is he's saying, you're so tempted back into this religion, this law, these rules. You want to go back to this place. But this is all about the Spirit of life, and the Spirit of life isn't about that. And so Paul writes to the people in Galatians, he says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. They're getting all confused about what to do, and Paul writes, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Jesus says in John 15, what does he say? As my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. I don't want us to be sleepy on this morning. Love each other as I have loved you. The end of that portion in our Bibles Jesus repeats, this is my command, love each other. So what does this look like for me right now? Because I'm aware that sometimes we talk about these in theoretical tones, but for me right now, what does this look like? What does remaining abiding in Jesus look like now, today, in my day-to-day life? And I say this not because you have to look anything like this. You develop your own thing, but it's helpful sometimes to know what other people do, right? So for me right now, remaining in Jesus looks like a bunch of things. And I will say that it's about continual adjustments. What I was doing last year is different to what I do now. It's about adjusting. That way, I don't get stuck in legalism or rules or formulas or the worship of idols, because God wants to change things in the way I connect. So right now, remaining in Jesus looks like a few things for me. It looks like really significant conversations, regular conversations with Helena, my wife, about what God is doing in our lives, what we see him doing, what we think he's saying. Regular times to talk about that. Really important for us. The other way it looks for me right now is quite a lot of journaling, writing stuff down, spending time reflecting, getting it down on paper. Now, that's not for everyone, but maybe give it a try if you've not done that. I spend a lot of time journaling. My times with God are spent actually mainly late at night. I am not going to do it in the mornings at the moment. Okay, it's not going to work for me. Some people stick to mornings. It's great. Do your morning thing. For me, it's not mornings. It's going to be late at night. And that's where I spend my time, primarily praying, writing, reflecting, reading the Bible, whatever it is. It's actually late at night. And the other way it looks to me right now is just trying to switch off where the worldly things creep into our Christian culture. Just trying to be aware of those things and switch them off, throw them away, and just focus for a bit. That's what it looks like for me. I don't know what it looks like for you, but I do believe that the call to develop and cultivate a significant relationship with the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential to abiding in Jesus. And I do believe that waking up to the command to love and not be lulled to sleep by that is also very significant. Okay, that's question one. Question two, what is the fruit that the gardener is looking for? What's the fruit that the gardener is looking for? I think here we see again our link between John 15 and Galatians 5. Because ultimately, I believe that the fruit that the gardener is looking for is Christ-likeness. For us to become more like Jesus. That's the fruit that the gardener is looking for. Now, it will also be external things as well. But I believe that it's from that journey of bearing fruit, becoming more like Jesus, that that stuff plays out in the world around us. What do I mean? So, in Galatians chapter 5, we have a list of 9 fruits, fruits of the Spirit. Stuff that most of you, lots of you will be aware of. 9 fruits. Shout them out to me. What we got? Peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. If you've got a kid's song running through your head right now? That's the only way I remember them too. It's a kid's song. Yeah, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These amazing fruits of the Spirit. Hey, everyone love fruit? That you love? Anyone love fruit? What's your favorite fruit? Just shout out some fruits. What's your favorite fruit? Apples, kiwis, orange, mango, raspberries, apricot. Who said apricots? Wow. I don't actually like apricots. Like in dried form. I like them in normal form. But the, you know the dried ones? They're not good. Anyone else? What was that? Melon, yeah. Particular melon? Just any old melon will do. Cherries, yes, so good. Passion fruit, really good. Pomegranate. Grapes, I'm eating a grape right now. Lychees. I sense controversy in the room. Lychees. I'm not sure about lychees. Gooseberries? No. Papaya. That's a really good one. My favorite. I've not heard pineapple. Yeah, my favorite fruit is pineapple. And I really love it. And what the thing with fruit is, this is my fruit bowl from home. I've got a half-eaten banana because Jacob, my godson, was eating it before the service. And I've got some grapes and some apples. The thing about fruit is, like this apple didn't desperately try to become an apple, did it? It wasn't hanging on the tree as a little baby apple thinking, please let me be an apple. It wasn't working really hard to become an apple. It just was an apple. And it was an apple because it was connected to a tree that happened to be planted in conditions that allowed the apple to be produced. Correct? The grapes on the vine. Oh. The grapes on the vine weren't working desperately hard to become grapes. They became grapes because they were connected to a vine that was set in conditions that were good enough for the grapes to produce, that allowed us to enjoy them and to eat them. I believe that in many ways the fruit of the Spirit is the same. That the fruit of the Spirit, all those things, those nine things that we listed off, they are a consequence, a byproduct of us being planted, rooted, grounded, connected to, remaining in, abiding in Jesus, who is the vine. And that fruit comes out as we abide. And our world is changed as a consequence of our abiding, not always because of our doing. And some of us are so intent on doing, we need to reverse the trend a little bit and start abiding. So the fruit of the Spirit is brilliant because it's both an internal thing, something that the Holy Spirit does in you, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, they're all things that reside in you, aren't they? Hopefully. But they are also external things. Things that come out of you and into the world around you. Love, joy, peace, patience. They exist inside you and outside of you. Just like remaining might feel like an internal thing and doing might feel like an external thing. And sometimes we want to choose one or the other. Sometimes we just want to choose remaining and just sit back and... But some of us want to choose doing, and we just want to do and do and do and do. Don't pick a side. Don't pick a side. Both are really significant. But what I believe is that as we remain and we abide in Jesus and we cultivate a significant relationship with the Holy Spirit and we see those fruits working within us, they cannot help but come out into the world around us. What did Jesus say? He said, it's out of the overflow of your heart that your mouth speaks. It's what happens in here that comes out. And so I want to encourage you today. If you look at those fruits there, those nine fruits, the fruits that the gardener is looking for. How's it going? Really simply, how's it going? Where's your love today? Where's your joy today? Or your peace, your patience, kindness, and so on. Where is that today in your life? How's it going? It's actually a really good measurable, isn't it? Of how we're doing in our abiding. A really good measurable. And so as we come to finish, I want us to pause and just take some time just to rest in the presence of God. Taking those different things that we've talked about, remaining in Jesus day to day, cultivating a significant relationship with the Holy Spirit, taking the command to love incredibly seriously, waking up to some of those truths, being aware that the fruit that the gardener is really looking for is to become more like Jesus. And as we become more like Jesus, the world around us gets changed, because it's what's in you that overflows out of you that begins to shape the world around you. Reflect on some of these things. And maybe it's worth asking the Lord the question today: what might be the one thing? What might be the one thing that this week I could take into the week ahead of me that might help me with some of these things? What might be the one thing? Or God, where are you challenging me in my life right now? Where's the challenge? Holy Spirit, where are you convicting me on something? Whatever it is. But let's take some time to reflect. If you need to get some paper, there's probably some around at the back. Is there some paper around, Cameron, at the back? I'm sorry, I didn't warn you about that. You could go grab some paper, some pens, and just write some stuff down. It's kind of in your hands. So let's pause. Let's take a moment. The wine comes from the vine.